listen afterwards, and so I too benefited from the rich lessons. Well, I think I have one to catch up on still, Brother Gilbert. So we are happy to be in the house of God to worship Him. And indeed, to worship God is an honor. And, you know, we appreciate so much Brother Myrie, and we sympathize with him in his loss, the loss of his father. We continue to pray for their strength, for their comfort in this hour. And we, you know, come back to say that we appreciate the way he guides our thoughts in worshiping the Almighty God. Because when we come into the house of God, it is to laud him and to magnify his name. And so, you know, if we reflect on the songs that were sung, you know, he, in leading, we echoed the sentiment that is true, that Jesus knows just what we need. And so it behooves us to praise him, to praise our Savior, our God. You know, because it is indeed an awesome thing to come before him. And so let us embrace the experience of being in the house of God, where we have the opportunity to praise and honor him. Today we want to focus our attention for the next few minutes to look at the subject, in the blood of Christ. In the blood of Christ. We could have titled the lesson, Blood in the Plan, because this sort of bears the essence of what we will be talking about. Well, what we want to enjoy out of this lesson and to bring home to us is that God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes with his plans. Important matters like salvation, the church, was always in the plan of God, was always in God's plan, including the blood of Christ. And this has implications for the church, for baptism, and for our eternal well-being. So I repeat, God makes no mistakes in his plans. And important matters such as the church, our salvation, has been in his plan for all eternity. And so in the text that we read, and in particular verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 9, the truth comes ringing home that it is in the blood that we have the purging. It is in the blood that we have our salvation settled. Can we just have verse 22 of Hebrews 9 read? And almost all things
are by the law purged with blood.
So when we look at the law and our interaction with God, almost everything we see the blood appearing again and again. And so today we want to focus our minds, because the lesson, I'm sure, will not be completed in this session. But we will focus our attention today on the history of the blood. The history of the blood. So in the blood of Jesus Christ, we have salvation, we have cleansing, we have sanctification. But we want to trace, in a type of introduction of sorts, the history of the blood. And so when we carry ourselves back all the way to the book of Genesis, we are introduced to the very first worship. And in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4, we see a truth being taught about Abel and his sacrifice. And it says, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4, what we have here is that Abel sacrificed. And what we saw is that blood was shed. Genesis 4:4.
And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock.
Yes.
And of the fat thereof.
So we see that Abel brought from the firstling of his flock. So here we are seeing that in this first worship that we are introduced to, that animal sacrifice and the shedding of blood was present. And we know that from Hebrews chapter 4, 11 and verse 4, that by faith Abel offered.
By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice.
A more excellent sacrifice.
Than Cain.
By
which he obtained.
You can stop there. And so what we are seeing is that because he was obedient, it is by faith that he offered. But the point is that Abel's sacrifice was of such that it brought the shedding of blood. So from the very start of our interaction with God and our worshiping God, that blood was brought into the picture. But not only in worship, but we see in the very In the significant emancipation, and we had Emancipation Day just last month. Although it was marked by a lot of interaction that don't follow well with COVID. But in the first big emancipation, where the children of God was being taken out of Egypt, in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, we see a statement being made, and we're going to have it read. In this great emancipation, among the things that came into focus was that there was the Passover animal. And so the angel of destruction was going to be passing through the land of Egypt. But the Israelites, they were told to put the blood over the door. And the blood, as it were, would form part of their salvation. So we have the Passover animal. Well, let's read it. Exodus 12 and verse 13.
And the blood shall be to you for a token.
And the blood shall be for you a token.
Upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
And when I see the blood, I will pass over. And the story continues that in the morning, that the children of God were spared because they were obedient. But let's not miss the point. The point we are making is that from the very onset, God's plan included blood. We saw it in the first worship. We saw it in the great emancipation of the children of God. Without the shedding of blood, you know, we have the absence of cleansing. But not only in the worship, not only in the great emancipation, but also at the very issuing of the law of Moses, when God gave the children of Israel the law. You know, a lot of times we sort of focus on the Ten Commandments. But what we need to recognize is that in God giving instructions to his special group of persons who were so designated to cause Jesus Christ to come into this world, that it was not just 10 instructions, it was not just 10 commandments that were issued, but there were many statutes, there were many testimonies that were levied, many precepts. And in that, we see very significant that blood and sacrifices, the slaughter and the shedding of blood was registered. You know, one place we see this, and time won't allow us to do a lot of reading here, but Leviticus chapter 23, we can pick out a few of the statements. In Leviticus chapter 23, we see that as the instructions and the statutes and the commands were being given to the children of Israel, we saw spotted right through that blood. Blood. You are there? Pick up at verse 12. Leviticus
12. And he shall offer that day.
And you shall offer that day. So it's worship again. You shall offer that day.
When we wave the shaft and he lamb without blemish, okay, of the
so,
first year.
So you bring a lamb without blemish. So, and it's not that you bring the lamb and say, oh, what a nice pretty lamb. You know, it is that the lamb was going to be slaughtered. It is the blood that was the emphasis. Verse 16.
Even unto the morrow, yes, after the seventh Sabbath,
yes,
shall he number 50 days.
50 days. So and it's not just a weekly thing now, but 50 days, a Pentecost type of thing. Yes.
And he shall offer a new meat offering
you
unto the
offer
Lord.
A new what?
Meat offering.
Meat offering. No, let's not mistake. You know, there are other things. You know, there are in some of the instructions, you know, we have, you know, drink offering and vegetable. But over and over we see stretched throughout the commandments and the instructions that blood was in the making. Verse 18.
And he shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year.
How much?
7 lambs without blemish.
You know, whole of 7. All right. Lamb again without blemish. Verse 19.
Then he shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goat for a sin offering.
Not only lamb but goat. And again it is blood. Verse 27.
Also on the 10th day of the 7th month there shall be a day of atonement.
Day of atonement.
It shall be an holy convocation unto you.
Yes.
And ye shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Okay, so, all right, so this fire and the idea again is animal sacrifice. And so we'll stop there. There are some other verses we could go to. But what we are seeing over and again is that there is a significance in respect to sacrifice required. That blood was to be shed. There ought to be slaughtering. It demanded the slaughter of animals so that blood could come into contact. So from the very outset and coming up through the history of our interaction with God, that blood was in the picture. God makes no mistakes. In the blood of Jesus Christ, we are getting there. There is a salvation. God makes no mistakes in his plans. But not only do we see this in the worship, in the great emancipation, in the law of Moses, but even the prophets joined in. You know, and when we look at the prophets You scan the Old Testament, we talk about the major prophets and the minor prophets. And guess what? Both the major and the minor prophets joined in talking about the blood. Our point, blood is always in the plan. You know, Isaiah 53, a very popular prophet is Isaiah. And he says in verse 7 that
he was oppressed.
Yes.
And he was afflicted.
Referring to Jesus Christ. He was prophesying about Jesus Christ.
Yet he opened not his mouth.
And he says, Jesus Christ didn't open his mouth at this juncture.
He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter.
He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter.
And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth.
But the point is, he was led to be slaughtered. Have we ever thought about that? That Jesus Christ was led to be slaughtered. So the prophet Isaiah spoke of this, that our Savior would have been a slaughtered lamb. His blood would come into the picture. No mistake, brethren. The blood of Jesus Christ was in the making a long time. You know, it talks about his blood was shed, his life was poured out, because there's life in the blood. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 tells us this, that there is life in the blood. Because, you know, Isaiah did tell us in verse 12 that his blood or his life was poured out. So sometimes we talk about, you know, Jesus Christ and his blood was shed. And if we're not careful, we minimize it, because we all at some point have had our blood shed. You know, we have all gotten a cut here or there. But when we talk about Jesus being led as a lamb, you know, are you still at Isaiah? Read verse 12 for me of Isaiah 53. Is that his life was poured out. Verse 12.
Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great.
Yes.
And he shall divide the spoil.
Yes.
With the strong.
Read.
Because he hath poured out his soul unto death.
So when they talk about poured out his soul, it is his life. He poured out his life unto death. And so this is the picture we must take of Jesus Christ. And in the very history of our times interacting with God, even the prophets spoke of this. But not only major prophets like Isaiah, but Zechariah in chapter 13 and verse 1 tells us of the pouring out or of the slaughtering that was necessary. And it says in verse 1 of Zechariah 13,
In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David.
There shall be a fountain open. You know, that's a wonderful thing. But a fountain open, you mean a fountain like a waterfall? No. It's not Reach Falls or Wise Falls or Duns River Falls. It's not that type of fountain, or, you know, the nice fountain we have at Emancipation Park. It's not anything like that. This fountain that Zechariah spoke about, let's read a little bit more. Start reading again. Verse 1.
Open to the house of David.
Start reading again.
In that day. There shall be a fountain. Open to the house of David.
Read.
And to the inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Read.
For sin and for uncleanness.
So this fountain is not even like the mineral bath you know, that we like to run to for healing. Yeah. But this fountain is a fountain that will cleanse us from sin. And so Zechariah is saying, there's going to come a day that we have such a fountain, where we have an avenue to be cleansed, where we have an avenue to be freed from sin. And Zechariah was many a years before Christ came. And can't we be happy? Can't we be joyous that 2,000 and odd years, or about 2,000 years since Christ has come, that we can join in with the songwriter? Not like Zechariah would be saying, there will be a fountain. But we can say there is a fountain. There is a fountain that is filled with blood. You see, blood was always in the picture. And today we too can tap into that blood. We can tap into that eternal plan that God has for mankind. You know, there is a fountain that is filled with blood. It is a fountain filled with blood drawn from our Savior's vein. You know what the songwriter says? And sinners plunge beneath that flood. You know, he's expressing a truth here, because he's pointing to baptism. But if I jump there, I'll be going ahead in my lesson. But we cannot get in contact with the blood without being baptized. You know, I would want to appeal to those who are hearing my voice but are not yet members of the church, that we need to get in touch with the blood. We need to make contact with that fountain filled with blood. That fountain that is filled with the blood from Christ Jesus' veins. But we'll come back to that. But what are we talking about? Let's not lose track. We are talking about the blood of Christ. But specifically, we have been tracing historically the fact that blood has always been in the plan. Don't miss it, because that's the essence of the lesson. Blood has always been in the plan. It is no accident. It is not a mistake. Now, can I step back a little and say that the interaction with blood is not the most pleasant thing for so many? You know how many bright people who would have had interest in medicine and being doctor and nurse turn away from that because they can't deal with the blood thing? And, you know, the stories are told about even doctors who have been trained. You know, when they go to the operation table and them faint, drop down. And, you know, I was listening to an interview a few months ago where, I don't remember what area she ended up being, but she still stayed in the medical arena, but I think she started to sell medicine. Because as a trained person, when she went, she realized that, no, she can't deal with this blood thing. You know, and for some of us, blood makes us shudder. You know, I can relate the first time. When I say first time, you might get a wrong impression. But I think it might have been the only time that the first time, yeah, I did it again. the first time I killed that chicken. You know, it was almost gruesome, you know. So we were, so if you are to kill a chicken in the way we used to do it, then what you do, you'd have a pan, all right? You catch the chicken and you put the pan and leave out the head, all right? And some people's heads start shake already, all right? And then you'd cut off the head, all right? Then because of my age at the time, then I sat on the pan. But that chicken battered because his life was being taken away, but there were still things in him. But the very first time I did it, I took off the bucket quickly. And there was blood everywhere. So if I had done it here, by the time the chicken stopped flattering, he was at the clock, at the back. That's how far he moved. And the place was just full of blood all over. That picture. You know, blood doesn't always bring a nice picture. But Jesus Christ and God in their plan had blood in the plan. Amen. They had blood in the plan from the very outset. Amen. But let me come back. When we trace the history coming through, we see the worship. We see the great emancipation. We see when the law of Moses was given. We have looked at the prophets, major and minor. But if we take the history even closer home, if we still in the Old Testament era, but in the recordings of the New Testament, we see the forerunner of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, as he went around declaring and teaching, the leaders of the day approached him. You know, the Jews, you know, they were very concerned. Who are you? They asked. You know, are you a prophet? You know, are you Elijah or Elias or, you know, Isaiah, one of those big prophets? Who are you? Why are you here talking like this? You know, they even asked him, are you the Christ? You know, so they confronted him. They wanted to know what he was about. And in that account in St. John chapter 1, you know, from about verse 19 following, we see this interaction. But there's an interesting thing that occurred. In verse 29, Jesus Christ is declared by John the Baptist. Jesus Christ, as it were, was about to take center stage in the era of the Israelites at the day. And it's almost like he would be the grand speaker. And John was the person designated to introduce him. And in verse 29, it is interesting that John declares, or John introduces Christ in a particular context. Read verse 29.
The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him.
All right, so the next day. So we're going to come back and see what had happened, why inspiration now says the next day. You know, we look at the prior days. You know, I really feel like a history person today. I'm talking about the history of the blood, and, you know, we're talking about this day, but I'm going to come back and talk about what happened historically to this, before this next day. Read.
And saith, Behold the Lamb of God.
Of all the things that John would have said in respect to Jesus Christ, he said what?
Behold,
look, observe. Behold the
Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God. John declares Jesus Christ as a blood sacrifice. He was not introducing Christ as a meek animal. He was introducing Christ as the sacrificed animal, the blood sacrifice of God, the Lamb of God. In his introduction of Jesus Christ, John did not introduce him as, behold, the one who was born of a virgin. As true as that was. As true as it is that he grew up in a carpenter's shop because his father was a carpenter. He didn't say, behold, this youth who has grown up as a son of a carpenter. He did not even introduce him as a man of stature. Even though we are told by inspiration that Jesus Christ grew in stature. As wise as Jesus Christ was, to the point, yes, young people in the audience, from as early as his teens, put it 12, 13, that he had interest in the Word of God. To the extent that when they went up to worship, he was discussing with the leaders. And so interested he was in the Word of God that his parents had gone ahead days. And he was still there in discussion with them. Who tell you that as a youth, spiritual things are not interesting? The wise Jesus Christ in his youth took interest in the Word of God. Can that be a message to us? There are many of us older that we didn't embrace Jesus Christ until we were old. But there are many of us too who embrace Christ in our youth. In keeping with his desire, what does he say? Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And what I'm saying here is that Jesus Christ grew in wisdom and stature. Jesus Christ demonstrated wisdom from an early time in terms of taking interest in spiritual things, not just pursuit of secular education, not just in pursuit of being socially acceptable, but having interest in spiritual things. That's a sign of wisdom. And as wise as Jesus Christ was, as much as Jesus Christ could have engaged even at that stage, the leaders of the day, the spiritual leaders, when John introduced him, he did not introduce him as the wise one. He didn't say, behold the wise. What did he say? Behold the Lamb of God. Behold he who would be sacrificed for you. Behold the one who has caused the Almighty God from our beginning of our interaction with him to be saying blood. Slaughtered, shed blood from the beginning of time even to now. And so we see how important the blood is. You know, not even as he saw Christ did he say, as much as he was the Son of Man. That's not what he declared him as. As much as Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's not what John, his forerunner, declared him as. As much as Jesus Christ is the master teacher, John didn't say, behold, the master teacher is here. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Master. All of these things are true. But it's almost like John was saying, as I introduce him to you, I want to select that which is most important. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. You know, it is interesting that, you know, when John was interacting, and if we pick up from verse 19 and come down quickly, time is, I want to make some traction here. That John was being interrogated by the leaders, by the Jewish leaders. Now, pick up at verse 19, and we'll try to run quickly through. We see the interaction that led up to this grand and great introduction that points to Jesus Christ, that points to him being the slaughtered lamb. Verse 19, read.
And this is the record of John.
All right, so this is the record of John. Read.
When the Jews sent priests. Right,
so the Jews, and specifically the priests, the religious leaders, the priests, they came to him. And they read.
When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem.
So the priests and the Levites.
To ask him, who art thou?
Yeah, so they want to, who you be? Read, man, don't stop.
And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ.
So he'll say, I'm not the Christ. You know, and, you know, as we, for time's sake, we won't tarry here. But as we read on, would realize that they also called in the Pharisees. You know, and they said, you know, they wanted to get into who you are. What are you about? But what John did in this interrogation of who he was is that he acknowledged that he was just the introducer. He was just the forerunner of Jesus Christ. You know, he used to, you see, I'm not this anything great. The one who is great, I can't even tie him shoelace. And then that's how now we could pick up now at verse 29. Because he would have been interrogated, he had to say, I'm not Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not any of the prophets. You know, but I'm going to be, I'm preaching the same things that the prophets spoke about. Because I'm joining in this grand plan that Jesus Christ and God established from the very foundation of the world. That Jesus Christ would come to earth and that he would shed his blood. That the church would be in the picture. That we all must come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ in order for us to be saved. So we can't trivialize things like baptism. I'm touching on this because I won't get a chance to jump into it today. So I'll give you a little foretaste. You know, I'm being a little John. I'm going to be a little forerunner. Telling you some things that will come in a lesson in the future. But the point is, as we trace through history, we recognize that God made no mistake. None whatsoever. From the outset, blood was in the picture. From the onset and coming up through the ages, God was setting and making it quite clear that salvation, cleansing, sanctification, propitiation, throwing out some words that later on we can talk about them, reconciliation, getting peace, tapping into divine grace, that all these things are bungled and tied up in the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you seek for peace? Do you seek for reconciliation with God? I have news for you. This cannot happen outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. Christians, can I speak to you for a minute? Sometimes, we forget how fortunate we are. We have been fortunate to come in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. And sometimes after being Christians for a while, it's almost like we forget the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we treat it trivial. We take it light, like it is not something important. But I'm here to encourage us, myself included, that the blood of Jesus Christ and what we have done to come in contact with that blood, when we got baptized, immersed in water to wash away our sins, that was not just a thing that man came up with. That issue of blood was in the making for a long time. When we trace history coming right up to when Christ did it, it was in the making. It was in the plan. It is not that Jesus Christ came to earth and things went wrong, and it ended up that they slaughtered him. And so now, because that's how things play out, God now make a big thing about the blood. No. It was in the thought. It was in the design. It was in the plan of God from the very outset. You see, there are certain things that have been in the mind of God from the beginning of time. That as time unfolded, as time rolled on, then we began to see it. But it was in the plan of God all along. You see, when we talk about salvation, that was in the plan of God. When we talk about the church, that has always been in the plan of God. When we talk about baptism and it being an immersion, that has always been in the plan of God. You know, when we come back next time, we look at things like, you know, I have 7 things that I've identified. And I think there are more now, but I stop at 7. They say 7 is a complete number. We're going to identify some 7 things that are directly linked to the blood in inspiration. 2 of those things is cleansing, being purged, and being sanctified. And we're going to make an interesting tie with that and the church. You see, because a lot of times we think that all of these things are accident, but all of these are bungled up and tied up in the design and purpose and plan of Almighty God. If you are in the hearing of my voice, you can come in contact with the blood of Christ by being baptized. But you see, baptism is but part of the plan. But if you were listening to the lesson, then we would have spoken of the fact that Jesus Christ is at the heart of our salvation. So you would have heard about Jesus Christ and the fact that he came as the slaughtered Lamb of God. If you believe that, and believe that he is the Son of God and prepared to echo that, to say that, to confess that, to proclaim that, and you decide to change your way, we call that repentance, then if you are doing all of those things, then you are a fit subject to come in contact with the blood. How? Through baptism. And you can do that today. That's not a quick thing. This contact with the blood has been in the plan for a long time. If you are just now hearing it, jump on it quickly. Don't make it run out on you. The fountain still flows, but there's going to come a time when they turn it off. Because time is that switch. And when eternity chips in, that fountain will be no more. But guess what? The fountain is flowing now. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from our Savior's veins. And sinners who plunge beneath that flood, you can lose most. You can lose all your guilty stains. Not some, not most, not a few, but all. You just need to come in obedience and God will accept you. We invite the song leader to come with a song of invitation, a song of encouragement. Don't let the opportunity to accept Christ pass you by. You never know. It may never come again. Song.